Your name?
Joseph Torres.
Your organization?
Free Press.
Free Press has been working very hard on something called net neutrality. What exactly is that?
Net neutrality is just the basic principle that's been governing the internet since inception. It's the idea that a user, should be able to access any content or application of their choice, any website of their choice online. So, for example, a broadband company, let's say like AT&T or Comcast, they will be prevented from having the ability to actually block or deny the ability of a user to access the websites of their choice or the applications of their choice that they want to use.
So this could, in essence, lead to, instead of one framework governing the network where everybody has equality, really a tale of two internets.
Right. So basically, with net neutrality, to me, I look at it as a freedom of speech issue. It means that let's say I have my own website, I have the ability to reach the public without any gatekeeper blocking the ability for me to communicate freely. What the telecom companies want to do is create a tiered internet with different tiers. And so if I want the public to see my site at the fastest speed, I'm going to have to pay the broadband company more. And if I pay more, then the user could be able to access my site at the fastest speeds. But the problem with that is that I don't have the deep pockets to say if I have my own website as a big corporation to be able to pay to make sure my site is seen at the fastest speeds. And the other thing, these broadband companies as well, do you think they're going to give priority access or give a choice to companies that may be willing to pay but are competitors? So you see it as a way for them to totally monetize the internet. It's a corporate takeover of the internet to maximize profit, and this is what they want to do.
Joe Torres, we don't talk enough about the media in this country, but Free Press certainly does. So I don't think the consequences of this are fully understood. Can you attempt to convey what this will do and which communities will be most adversely impacted?
Well, the internet is the greatest communications network ever created. It allows for greater freedom of speech, like we were just discussing. Anyone can get online and communicate without any gatekeepers. You can communicate to a global audience. It is a greatest like network for commerce, right? Anyone can start up their own online business. The consequences, having broadband access and having access to the internet is like a fundamental right, right? It's like it is critical to quality of life. If you have broadband access, you connect to the internet. It usually means it's necessary for a business or an individual to want to get ahead in life. It's access to information. It's a place of commerce. What we're talking about here is a corporate takeover of the internet. We'll totally monetize the internet in a way that is going to look like cable television. And you see what cable television had the great promise of one day of being this great information communication system that is going to give everyone a voice. And you see what cable has become. Cable has just totally been carved up by the big corporations and has little value of actually providing real news and information to the public. This is basically a play for the internet. For people of color, for me, is one of the examples that have greatly benefited from an open internet, and will be harmed if the internet if the corporate takeover actually happens. People of color historically have been unable to own radio, television stations. We've been unable to tell our stories in a way that reaches a mass audience. Whenever you see in the network television or mainstream media, There are gatekeepers who are telling our stories. And we've seen historically from the very first days of our country to the present day that whenever people tell our stories, for the most part, they get it wrong. And they tell our stories in a very stereotypical way. So we see that with immigration. You see that with the stories of what's going on with the Muslim community. It is told in a very stereotypical way, and that always people of color are like a threat to society in one way or another. We are able to tell our own stories. It's critical that we do that so we can educate the public and empower our own community. That's why an ethnic media has evolved. The internet is the lowest barrier of entry for people of color, for anyone at that matter, to create their own online presence, their own media presence, and to tell their own stories. Anyone can create a website and start reporting and tell their stories like you do and Pacifica does. This is why we need an open internet so communities of color can use the internet not only to tell our stories but to organize as well. You've seen what happened with the Gina 6 back in 2006. The African-American community organized online through Color of Change to have a mass protest about these young kids who were arrested down in Gina 6. You saw the greatest mass demonstration of Latinos in our country's history in 2006 with the immigration marches. You've seen the community organize against Lou Dobbs and his hateful speech. You've seen President Obama become the first black president, just totally breaking down barriers historical barriers that prevented people of color from winning, not just national office or statewide office, but the presidency. It was considered unimaginable. But he was able to use the power of an open internet to bypass the traditional media to tell his own campaign stories or to get his campaign out to everyday folks. This is the potential what can happen with open internet and what can happen for our communities. Without it, we're still going to, the internet was ever, if a corporate takeover of the internet ever happened, we were still going to rely on corporate gatekeepers to tell our stories.
Saturday, August 28th was a rally that Glenn Beck organized. And it really wasn't just about Glenn Beck. It really was about America's media infrastructure. Because I was expecting a few thousand, but there was tens and tens, maybe hundreds of thousands of people.
Right.
And it seems like, it was almost entirely white.
Right.
And it was really quite scary. And I think it was a condemnation of what happens when we allow the media to be taken over by the corporate interests that you're speaking of.
Well, for me, with the Glenn Beck rally or other events like that is that the mainstream media really has done a poor job of challenging the belief systems or challenging people in power, let's say, instead of the belief systems, the people in power, whether it's Glenn Beck or other folks, challenging power and saying, what's going on? Why does one out of every five Republicans believe Obama is a Muslim? Why does half of the Tea Party folks believe that Obama wasn't even born in this country? Why did during the war in Iraq did 7 out of 10 people believe that Saddam Hussein had something to do with September 11th? Isn't that really, in my opinion, the fault of the everyday folks or the 7 out of 10 people who believe that? It is the news institutions that they watch and listen to who don't correct the record or set the record straight. It is powerful politicians who are able to use the media as well to push these messages out without being challenged. I mean, how many politicians have we seen who got on the air and when asked about whether Obama's a citizen or not, say, well, you know, as far as I know, or I take him at his word. That kind of like fudging of the lines, and the mainstream media really doesn't challenge these politicians in power as well as they should in pushing out basically, you know, campaign talking points and lies that are not going to benefit the American folks. But we're talking in this example of Republicans or conservative community, but the same goes true for the Democratic or, you know, progressive community, for lack of a better word. We have to hold everyone accountable. I mean, in this fight over net neutrality, for example, we've seen a lot of Democrats who are actually against net neutrality and who are actually against the FCC protecting an open internet. And it's because all of this, what we're speaking to is the influence of big telecom companies and big corporations in Washington to be able to really tilt the playing field in their way. So a lot of the stuff we're talking about, whether it's stereotypical, you know, stereotyping of people of color or the Glenn Beck rally or the Tea Party or what's going on with net neutrality, it's a lot of corporate influence happening all over the place and all that, making the opposition to, let's say, net neutrality in this case, so widespread.
Joe Torres, in light of the importance of the issue, particularly with regards to its impact on community of colors, where have the civil rights groups been on this issue, and why is this not front and center? I've heard someone say, no matter what your first issue is, your second issue should be media reform. And Free Press, that is the first issue, is this media reform. But why is this not front and center more?
Well, for a lot of organizations of color, there's a few reasons for that. It's not one clear-cut answer. Some of the answer is that a lot of organizations of color don't have the staff capacity to actually follow this issue in day in, day out basis. Another reason for several organizations clearly is the fact that it's the influence of their corporate sponsors. I mean, we have a lot of these corporations like AT&T and Comcast actually have done a good job of Verizon of reaching out to communities of color, hiring people of color to actually work with these organizations, funding, you know, important programs. But when it comes to telecom, a lot of these a lot of groups don't have are actually it seems it's frustrating. It seems to me that they are actually siding with the policy agenda of a lot of these companies. That's what it seems, you know. And I think, you know, not enough people in our community actually understand this issue, where they can ask these organizations, you know, why do you have the same policy position as the Tea Party? I mean, literally, there's groups like the League of United Latin American Citizens, ULAC, who oppose net neutrality and are on the same side as the Tea Party. So that's a question that they should be asked, you know, by reporters or their members. But there's some groups who so it's all different reasons. Some groups really don't have some groups are just against, like ULAC. They'll say plainly we're against, and they'll give their reasons why. I personally think a group like ULAC, or I think they might be a little influenced by some of the talking points of the big corporations, but they actually stated a position. And you know, whether I agree with them or not, at least they have actually stated why, and they actually can articulate a reason why they oppose net neutrality. There's other groups who say we support net neutrality, but they put a letter, send a letter to the FCC that has this, all this coded language that is everyone who follows this issue knows is exactly what they mean by that, and is viewed as being opposed to net neutrality. And the telecom companies actually use that letter to say, hey, look at this group, it's opposed to net neutrality. So while ULAC, I'm, you know, critical of ULAC, at least ULAC has articulated a position and have actually stood their ground on that, and they've been consistent with the opposition to net neutrality for years. But there's other groups who want to say, no, we're not against net neutrality, but we're just expressing some concerns. But that's not what the letter, the function of the letter, and it's the way Washington works. You write this letter, and it gets sent to lawmakers against to say, look at all these groups against an open internet. So against net neutrality. So that's the DC game that's being played.
Groups such as, who are some of the groups that are, you fall into this category?
I won't mention anyone specifically now, but it's all in the public record, you know. But there are several large groups and some smaller groups. I can't talk to each one of them, the motivations of why they signed those letters. There's some groups that actually have a better idea why they did. But I think regardless of the reasons why, you know, they signed the letter, they should be asked to they should be asked why they have taken a position that's being viewed as anti-net neutrality, and they should you know, have to explain their position, you know, and say, why did you take this position? Can you articulate it? Do you know this position is being spun by the telecom companies as opposing an open internet, net neutrality? Can you explain why that is? And if more people did that, maybe a few groups would change their positions, because, you know, maybe they'll change positions. That's my hope, at least.
Joe Torres, President Barack Obama, you mentioned him. President Barack Hussein Obama, the first African-American president, He certainly, the mainstream media, without the internet, it doesn't seem possible that he could have ascended to the presidency. And as he was running, he made very strong statements towards network neutrality. Mm-hmm. Since that time, as president, how has he been on this issue?
Well, he's made some good statements as being president, but we're troubled that the FCC chairman has not moved forward with protecting an open internet. Right now, telecom companies have the legal authority, have the ability, basically, if they want to block websites, they can, because of a court case that happened in April that basically stripped the FCC of its current authority to regulate the broadband industry. But the FCC has the power to re-regulate the industry. What happened during the Bush administration, the telecom industry was deregulated, and the court found the legal framework adopted by the British administration to be threw it out. So the FCC has the ability to re-regulate the industry, and which will protect consumers in so many different ways. And it will also help the FCC move forward to adopting broadband policies to make sure that poor communities have access to broadband But the FCC cannot move forward until it actually reestablishes authority. And there's five members of the FCC. Three are Democrats, two are Republicans. Two of the Democrats strongly support the FCC moving forward with the reclassifying, what's called reclassifying, reestablishing the authority. The chairman seems he's reluctant to do that. And he's reluctant because, because he's getting a lot of pressure from the telecom industries. They're rallying Democratic members in Congress to send letters to the FCC, civil rights groups, as we're saying, to oppose reclassification. Mm-hmm. And he's in labor as well. CWA is opposed to net neutrality. They are. They say it's going to affect their jobs, their members. So there's a lot of opposition to net neutrality folks who are normally allies. And so the chairman has not moved forward with reclassifying broadband, and we're concerned he's reluctant to do it, that he may not do it. So President Obama would like to hear a clear message from the White House to say we support the FCC moving forward with reclassifying, reestablishing authority of broadband, but the White House has been silent on it. Then we have Google and Verizon now. We have these industries trying to cut their own deals, backroom deals. Since the FCC is not moving forward with trying to reestablish authority, the industry is coming together to try to come up with their own rules to divide up the internet, to carve it up for their own business ambitions. So if the government doesn't act and fulfill its role to protect the public, the industries are going to do it. They're gonna try to write the rules in a way that only benefits them. And the Google Verizon agreement that was so crazy about that agreement. There's a lot of things, so many things wrong with that. But maybe one of the biggest outrages is that they actually would basically limit the FCC's authority to actually protect to create new network neutrality rules. They were actually calling for a committee to be set up. That be run by industry, that the industry will enforce if any rules or any bad behavior happens. This committee would actually oversee whether there was any violations of network neutrality rules, the rules that they wanted to write were so weak to begin with, and that the FCC would have to defer to this independent committee. So what they're saying is that industry is not only going to write the rules, but they're going to police themselves. And we have seen over the past decade what happens when industries allow to not only write the rules, but to police themselves as well. It doesn't work. It doesn't benefit the public. So if the chairman doesn't move forward, the industry is going to move forward. And it's really disappointing. We were hoping that the chairman would fulfill, do everything in his power, not only to fulfill what the president stated in his campaign throughout the presidency, but the chairman himself has stated so many times in the importance of an open internet to our society. So we're at a crossroads right now, and who knows what's going to happen. Congress may flip, the House may flip. That's a whole new set of dynamics that be in play if that happened. But we don't know how the story's going to turn out, but what we need is everyone who believes in open internet to make their voices heard. One place that I definitely advise people to go to is SaveTheInternet.com, which is a place where you can make your voice heard, sign a petition that goes to the member of Congress or to the FCC, or a group called ColorOfChange.org. They have an online petition that you can sign as well. So the different places where the public can get involved and make their voices heard.
Joe Torres, I was just surprised and troubled by the fact that this is the CWA building.
Yes, we are.
Communications Workers of America. And I'm just surprised that CWA, what about other unions? I mean, it would seem to me that unions who are constantly getting shafted by the corporate media mm-hmm. would have a very visceral understanding of the importance of an open internet. And yet, where have unions been on this issue?
Well, for us it's really disappointing. CWA has been, we've been close allies on so many different media issues through the years. Locking arms together on against media consolidation on NBC Comcast. We are on the same team fighting hard to prevent that deal from happening. On this one, we just have a major disagreement with them. They believe it's going to cost jobs, and we say, hey, that's not true. these industries are making huge profit margins, record profit margins, and they've been laying off workers, you know, even when they're making an enormous amount of money. This is what an industry does, right? It always tries to maximize profit, and you do that by continuing to cut labor. They do it, you know, this is what they do. This is the nature of a lot of business. And the fact that an open internet, as you're saying, is we think is important for job growth, right? It's going to, particularly among small businesses, where a lot of jobs are being created, right? And so small businesses can compete, have an open internet to be able to compete against larger companies. And who knows, you may have, you know, you have companies that weren't even around a few years ago now coming on board and challenging other businesses. And we've seen that particularly in online companies. But those are not, you know, those companies, I think a lot of those jobs that are being created are not union jobs. So the union has union jobs with the telecom companies. And the telecom companies are saying that, you know, if net neutrality was to happen, it's probably going to lead to layoffs and job loss and stuff like that. And I don't know why, but they it's disappointing, but they support that belief that net neutrality is going to result in job loss and union jobs being lost. So I guess they're doing what they think is best for their members, but you know, we have just a totally philosophically just different view than them on that. So
what about other unions?
It's mixed. You know, a lot of other unions don't want to get involved because other unions don't want to get involved because of CWA's position. But you have, like, you know, you have other unions like the Writers Guild that are supportive of net neutrality. So it's you know, they see this as critical for work for their members. You know, that an open internet's going to mean allow the creative community to create online programs that that their members can get jobs with. I mean, one of the folks I've been working with on Net Neutrality Latina, named Ruth Livier, she used to be on a show, Resurrection Boulevard, on Showtime. She was the first person ever to get a Writers Guild card, earn her Writers Guild card for producing and writing, not only produces but writes an online web series called Ilse. She plays a Spanish language a broadcaster, basically, of a talk show. And it's a comedy, basically. It's an online comedy, and it's really well done. It's an excellent show, and she got her Writers Guild card for writing on an online program. She was the first person to do that. So this shows you, with the future of the internet, of an open internet, it creates opportunity for this Latina, whose show would probably never get picked up by a cable station, to create her own show with Hollywood folks who have long careers in Hollywood. Even people like Elizabeth Pena, famous actress who directs several of her web series, several of the programs, to find a venue to not only, you know, to create but to work, you know, and so they view an open internet as critical to making sure to protecting their members' best interest.
Any final thoughts you want to share, Joe Torres?
No, once again, just this is more and more people are becoming aware of this issue because of the Verizon Google deal. Agreement is not a deal. It was a proposal, basically, for legislation. We need everybody to make their voices heard. This is a critical fight. I mean, like you're saying, this is so important. I mean, this is about free speech. An open internet is about protecting our ability to speak for ourselves, regardless of race and ethnicities, for everyone to go online and to speak for themselves. And to hold the folks in power accountable, to create businesses, to use it to educate your children, to find information about health. We need an open internet to make sure that it's a vibrant online community. And it's at stake. It's literally at stake right now. We're fighting to protect that. And in the past, whenever technology has come along, it has fundamentally changed the media industry. Whenever, whether it's telegraph, radio, cable television, it creates new industries, right? When it changes the technology, it creates new industries that has the potential to allow more people to participate in the media system, whether it's radio, cable. Now we have the internet, which allows anyone to participate. But whenever that happens, there's always an attempt by industry to control this new media landscape that has been created. And the government has always come along and has to decide how to regulate this new industry. And has always chosen the side of big corporations. And this is where we're at today. We're at the same critical juncture as we were in the 1970s when it came to cable, or the 1920s when it came to radio. So we're at this critical juncture now. We are fighting literally for the future of an open internet, something that we all just kind of take for granted, that we just think is you click your mouse, you go on your website, it's just going to be there. Or it's going to load at the same speed. Your website is going to load the same speed. The Pacifica station is going to load the same speed as CNN or Viacom's CBS stations. That might not be true. You know, the day may be coming sooner than we think, that only those with the deepest pockets can make sure that their sites are going to be seen at the not only the fastest speeds, but the best quality of service, to make sure their videos and everything are running well. This is what we're fighting for, and it's critically important to our democracy. And we need everyone's voice. Visit SaveTheInternet.com and ColorOfChange.org is another organization. That was a long way to give you a last thought, but those are my few thoughts.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thanks.